pleasure to be here with you all. Bethel, as few times as I've been here, which this makes two, is a special place to me. It's a special place to Bethany, Bethany Church, where I try to serve with Brother David and Brother Ken. Y'all mean a lot to us. Brother Day, your brother David and Brother Pam, I got to know several years ago and have appreciated their friendship over the course of the year. Several others of you I know as well. And Brother Ronald, I'm not near as young as you think I am. I was in the middle of my secular career when Brother Ronald and I met about 15 years ago there in Jacksonville when I was attending McClenny Church, although I looked like a child. Fairly confident I acted like a child, and even more confident that I preached like a child. But your pastor was a dear friend of mine when we made the move from Palm Chapel Church, where I met Brother David and Sister Pam, to Bethany Church several years ago, just after David and Stacy and the Lawrence family moved there. And Ken and David were ordained a couple of years ago together. Brother Ronald preached the charge there and has preached there several times for us since we've been there. So I thank you for allowing him to come to Bethany. We hope he comes again here soon. And we hope that in just a few weeks, you all return the favor of my driving up here and you drive down to Atlanta and you come to our meeting here in just a few weeks. That's enough about that. The brother asked me a while ago, do you know the scripture or maybe the title of what you're going to speak on tonight? And I went, not really, maybe. We'll see. And I told him one, and we're going to get there. It just may take a while. But before we do, I want to read these words because I want you to, based on what we just heard, to be mindful of these words that I think us ministers try to use on a regular basis to remind us really of what our purpose is in preaching the Word of God. Now, you are at a Primitive Baptist church on a Friday night. Y'all know a little something about grace, amen? Y'all know something about election. Y'all know something about predestination. And listen, it can't be preached enough. In fact, Peter said this. He says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth." Peter dedicated to himself and to the church that he was not going to be negligent to remind you of these deep, wonderful things that he had learned not only of Jesus Christ, but by the Spirit as he was even penning these words. He was going to remind you over and over and over. You know, in order to remember something, you got, maybe this is an Alabama thing, you got to remember something. To remember it. It's got to be a part of you for you to be able to recall it. Peter says, "I'm going to remind you of this every chance that I get, so that I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance." His goal was that even when I'm long gone, that you remember these things. We've got an old deacon at Bethany Church, Brother Don Swords. I went to visit him one day several months back, and he said, that message, he just turned 88. He said, "That message you preached this Sunday, Brother so-and-so preached it on August the so-and-so, 1972. Well, that's pretty incredible, Brother Don. He said, "Yeah, I have it written down right here." So when you re-preach something, no, I got the date written right in here and who preached it. It's a wonderful doctrine that we have. As opposed to what I understand was a wonderful worship service last night where the Spirit blessed Brother Mike and Brother Mark to be able to really preach together out of the same portion of Scripture following one another up. We're going to try not to do that tonight. We're going to eventually get, wherever you are recording this thing or streaming it, we're eventually going to get to 2 Peter, back to 2 Peter chapter 1. But I want to start all the way back in Genesis chapter 27. 27th chapter of Genesis. You know, we have a tendency, don't tell my wife this, and if David and Ken, our deacons back there, if you'll shut your ears just for a second, I have a tendency to be wrong every once in a while. Y'all too? Sometimes I see things and they are not what I see. Sometimes I hear things and they are not what I hear. Sometimes they are exactly what I see and what I hear, but I convince myself that they ain't. How in the world does that happen? Well, we can go back to the garden and we can explain that. And I want to talk to you about a man named Isaac, just for a second. Another man named Jacob, another man named Esau. It says in verse 1, and it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see. Here is Isaac, he is older, he has gone a long way, and the older that he has gotten, the less he is able to perceive with his eyes. He can't see. As we go along with this story, you'll notice that one of the first things that we learn in life, my son had a truck, and if there's a nursing area around here, there may be one in there. It's the name of the book is That's Not My Truck. It's too bumpy, or it's too slick. And there are a series of those books, but it is intended to get babies to touch this thing, to hear what bumpy is, to touch it, and they know what bumpy is. One of the first things that you learn as a child, as a baby, and I don't know who the youngest in here is, but one of the first things that they learn that we teach them as parents is eyes, ears, nose, the nose smell. That's one of the first things that we teach them. They can start to comprehend that, and by that, they can begin to perceive the world around them. What is real? Now, some folks are colorblind. My parents were deaf. My mother was sickened at about 1 year old, and she completely lost her hearing. My father was so poor. There were 7 children. 3 of them were deaf, but it could have been from sickness as a child, and they could have been born deaf. Hadn't been able to hear all of their lives until the day that they passed on. Some have the inability to be able to feel things. Those that suffer with paralysis, the major concern with paralysis of the lower half is getting a wound on the lower half of the body and not being able to feel it, an infection setting in. There are those that can't smell very well. My dad could smell a cantaloupe from 10 miles away. But because of his inability to hear, his other perceptions were heightened. First time I went hunting with him, sitting on a tree stand, it must have been about negative 40 degrees. And I was sitting right in front of him on an area about as big as this book board for about 6 hours straight, which was way too long. David, I know you're a hunter. Sorry, brother, I ain't going with you for that long and that cold. And I'm looking, you know, I'm looking. About 10 years old, what do I see? What do I see? And I saw nothing, and my dad taps me on the shoulder. And way off in the distance, he saw a deer. How does that happen? I couldn't hear it, yet he could see it. These things bother us. I mean, the older we get, maybe the more difficult it is to be able to take the things that we hear and to take the things that we see as what it is that we understand them to be. Here is Isaac. He cannot see. His eyes were dim. And he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, "My son." And he said unto him, "Behold, here am I." And he said, "Behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now, therefore, take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison, and make me savory meat such as I love." You know what Isaac loved? Savory meat. You know how he knew it was savory? It's number 2. He could taste it. He could taste it. He loved what the meat was, whatever this was. Someone would kill it. Esau would kill it. Someone would cook it up and he would taste it. It was what he loved. And maybe one last meal, Esau. Can you provide that for me? Y'all love a good meal. This was a wonderful meal. I'm glad y'all left some for me. and Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt it, to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, make me savory meat, and I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Now go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, and he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man. Y'all know what happens after that, right? And his mother said unto him, Upon me be the curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. And she took goodly raiment of her eldest son, Esau, which were with her in the house, and put some upon Jacob, her younger son. He put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father. I know this is a long portion. Y'all stay with me. And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I've done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of them, thy venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly? And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said, Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee. He can't see him. That's out of the picture. We got four more left, right? He's going to feed him. He's going to taste something, and his taste is going to see, this is exactly what I told Esau to get me. He says, Now come close to me and let me feel thee. Here it is. Here's it. And he fills his arms and he says, You know what? The voice is the voice of Jacob. He hears the voice. So the voice is the voice of Jacob, but he's fed me what Esau feeds me. He smells like Esau. He feels like Esau. I can't see him, so I have to make the best of the use that I have of my senses and say, this must be Esau. His senses let him down. He had one that told him, it is Jacob and not Esau, but because because his other senses outvoted that one, reality told him this is Esau. But it wasn't God's reality, it was his own reality. And he's not the only one that has formed his own reality. Us sitting here today have formed our own virtual realities of what life is and should be. Here in America, we have formed our societal and cultural reality of what life should be. In religion, we have formed our own reality about what religion should be. We should have a choice rather than God. But this is not God's reality. His senses let him down. How many times have your senses let you down? I want to turn back to 2 Peter, chapter 1, if you will. Second Peter, chapter 1, where we left off by chance is more of our endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not, we, Peter and James and John, the apostles, the disciples, we have not followed cunningly devised fables, crafted stories, Aesop's fables, things that maybe you can learn from. These are not them. This is an ever-present reality. We've not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. There you go again, eyewitnesses. We're going to see something. We're going to hear something. And Peter's going to tell you exactly what he heard and what he saw. You know, eyewitnesses are some of the worst testimony in a criminal case. Do y'all know that? Because things can go wrong. One can call a shirt purple while the other one calls it scarlet. Neither one of them may be wrong, but they perceive them, they see them through different lenses. Peter's about to tell you what his lens was of a very specific event that he would not have forgotten. We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. There was something very specific that he was an eyewitness of, and it was his majesty. For he received from God, he being Jesus Christ, he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. He's recounting what Luke recounts in his gospel in chapter 9. Just to give you a little more detail about what's going on here. Here's these men, James and Peter and John. They followed him up the side of a mountain. We call it the Mount of Transfiguration. On that mountain, as James and Peter and John were heavy with sleep, tired, about 4 months after I moved to Bethany Church, I got something I can remember. David and Trey and about 15 or 20 of us, Brother Ken decided the best thing that we could do was go on a 13-mile Appalachian Trail hike. That's not a good idea. I was about 30 pounds heavier then, and about a mile into trying to keep up with Brother Ken, maybe several miles in, I'm trying to keep up with Brother Ken. I am climbing this hill, and an old man, and I mean old man, an old heavyset man, this is my reality, remember, this old heavyset man comes down the mountain, and he says, "Son, are you okay?" I was not okay. Here, James, John, and Peter, they climb the mountain with Jesus and they fall asleep. They're tired. These men worked hard. And when they wake up, they see something incredible. Listen, some of y'all have been to meetings like this and you can leave here and you can boldly proclaim, "I have seen God's glory." You've gotten off your knees during prayer after prayer and you have said, "I have felt God's glory." You've read the word of God and you said, "I have heard from God. I've tasted of the bread of life. I've smelled the rose of Sharon." Peter here, having been with Christ for a while now, arises and he sees something he's never seen before. Something that very few had ever seen. Moses saw a little bit of it and couldn't wipe it off his face. He sees the glory of God displayed in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Y'all have seen some glorious things. Y'all ain't seen that. And he hears this voice from the cloud, this voice from the heaven that says, "This is my Son. Hear ye him. Listen to him." He's got something to say. He said that to you too. If the Lord has reached down into your life and he has changed your heart and he has given you new life, he has said to you, "Listen to Jesus Christ." Do you hear him? You see him? Your physical senses may let you down. Your spiritual senses, they're given you by the Spirit. God's not going to let you down. Now some, and I was an eyewitness of a very carefully crafted, I'm doing quotation marks in case this is on a CD, air quotation marks, a very crafted worship service where they tried to craft the Spirit. Y'all know what I'm talking about. certain sounds. There's a thing called mood lighting. Do you know why that's called mood lighting? Because you can set the mood. You know, music doesn't, when you hear music, it does incredible things to your mind. There are certain sounds and rhythms. Businesses pay millions of dollars to find just the right song to sell you their product. Certain rhythms, Brother Mike knows, certain rhythms give people certain feels. There's some old songs y'all hear today still make you want to get up and dance, right? There's some songs you sing out of these hymn books, just hearing the tune makes you want to fall into tears, right? It is well with my soul. You can hear things, you can see things, you can taste things. I left a block. Y'all remember what, y'all kids, there used to be things called Blockbusters. They were video stores. You didn't just get movies on your device. You actually had to get in your car, go to the, and spend $2.50. That's if you turned it back in the next day. Been known to spend well over $40 to rent a movie and watch it one time. And I walked out of Blockbuster, and I bought some Jelly Bellies. First time I'd ever had Jelly Bellies. And I put one in my mouth, and my immediate thought was movie theater. Before I even realized what flavor it was. Listen, y'all remember what mama's cooking tastes like, right? The way that we perceive things reminds us of things. Peter, sitting here, penning these words by the inspiration of God, is reminded of the greatest thing that his eyes had ever seen. The transformation of Jesus Christ. How many folks you think he went down that mountain to and said, "Hey, let me tell you what I saw." Now, they also saw two other people, Elijah and Moses, right? I don't know how they knew they were Elijah and Moses. Spirit works that way, though. This is an exciting event. It was an experience. Y'all have had religious experiences. You've had emotional experiences, both in the church. I hope you have a spiritual experience above those two. Here it is, all three for Peter and James and John. And Peter is telling you about it. He says, "Let me tell you what I saw." And it was as real as the day is long. John would tell you the same thing. If you turn to 1 John chapter 1, listen to these words, so beautiful and so poignant. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, which we have looked upon, and our words have handled the word of life." There's 3 years since we saw it, we heard it, we touched it. No doubt he smelled it. No doubt they ate the fish together. This was a very real experience for them. And in having that experience, they desire for you to have fellowship with them. And so they want to write these things to you so that you can have that experience. "For the life was manifested," we've seen it, "we bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things which we saw, which we heard, we write unto you that your joy may be full." You know that last little bit? You got a great life. You know what that last little bit to fill up that glass? You know what can fill that rest of that glass up? Hearing about Jesus Christ. Hearing about John and Peter's personal reflections of a very real relationship with Jesus Christ. What they saw, what they heard, what they felt. You can pass that along to one another as well. You know, someone else may get joy out of hearing your relationship, hearing about your interface, hearing about the fact that you heard the voice of Jesus Christ. That you leave here after hearing one of Brother Ronald's incredible sermons, and you leave here glorying. Who knows what joy you might bring to someone's life? Now, it's not Holy Spirit inspired joy like John has, but we can bring joy. Back to 2 Peter. He says, "For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent story. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Do y'all have any doubt that Peter's experience was real? Do you have any doubt that your experience with Jesus Christ is real? That when you saw God's glory, that you did in fact see God's glory? That when you heard the voice of God, that you did in fact hear the voice of God? When you felt God in a worship service or in prayer and in fellowship or in communion, that you did in fact feel God? You know what's better than that? He's about to tell you. You see, because this religion, as opposed to many others, this faith, Peter's reality wasn't based on his own experience, because Peter, just like I, we get it wrong sometimes. This is my grandmother-in-law, my wife's mother, gave me this Bible years ago. And I lost the Bible I had at Palm Chapel Church and went through about 7 or 8 until I finally settled on one. And this is the Bible I started preaching out of a long time ago. And there's a lot of stuff in here I want to do over again. We get it wrong. We hear it wrong. We see it wrong. We taste it wrong. Or our mind tells us that it's something that it isn't. Peter says, I had this incredible experience. I saw God's glory, but we have a more sure word of prophecy that you'd do well to take heed to. You can listen to me all you want. You can listen to the preacher all you want. The word of God, you got to pay heed to. It's more sure than anything I'm going to say. And I love Brother Ronald, Brother Martin, all the other preachers, but it's more sure than anything we are going to say. It is the word of God. It faileth not. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. It's good to also have it too, right? The word of God is what we need to have, but to have that personal experience with Jesus Christ just makes it that much better. He says, I've got that. We also have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, unto the day dawn and the day star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first about those scriptures, knowing this first about those things, that no prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation. Holy men of God, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You know how it's better than my own personal experience? Because I craft that. I got to thinking about this crafted worship service that I viewed the other day, and I went, you know, we kind of craft things too. You're Old Baptist, when you walk into an Old Baptist building, y'all expect to see pews, a communion table with flowers, and a pulpit up front. How many Old Baptist churches have you ever seen without that stuff? We craft it to make you comfortable as Old Baptists. When we build new buildings, when we do certain things, and some of that is okay. We want to be comfortable. Ministers craft sermons. We want to tell you a story at the beginning. We want to introduce ourselves. We want to hit you with something in the middle. And then we want to give you something to carry home with you at the end. My daughter used to laugh at me when I'd say, Dad, you say rubber meets the road all the time. So I stopped saying where the rubber meets the road. We want to instigate something from you. This worship service wanted to elicit some type of behavior. We want to elicit some type of behavior. We want you to leave here better than you were when you came in this place. And y'all are pretty good because you came to church on a Friday night. But y'all can be better, I can be better. We want to elicit a certain response. We want you to be a part of the church. We want to stimulate you to say, Jesus Christ has done this for me. I ought to do this for him. And be baptized. He says, there's something better than your experience. Some of y'all are waiting on an experience. You're waiting on your next experience. Something to move you, something to touch you, something to taste, something to smell, something to see, something to hear. When you've got something better than that right in front of you. Amen. You've got it on your phone. You've got it on your tablet. You've got it on your mind. It's better than any experience you've ever had. Why? Because it's directly from God. It's God's. You can say, well, it's kind of Peter's. Well, no, it's God's. He gave it to you through Peter. Well, he's talking about the Old Testament. Well, okay, that too. All of that, Peter understood. The eunuch understood. Philip understood. All of that pointed one direction so that they could see Jesus Christ. So that when Jesus Christ arrived on this planet, people could look and go, you know what? That looks like him. And they would love him. But he was sent to his own, and his own loved him not. They couldn't see it. Hindsight's 20/20, my friends. There's things that you get to see today that children of God never even imagined being able to see. And that is a great blessing. That is a great blessing. In Luke chapter 11, a certain woman, I always love certain women and certain men. A certain woman, she proclaimed to Jesus Christ. In the middle of him casting out devils and others seeking a sign, she says to Jesus Christ, essentially this, your mom sure is blessed. He says, yeah. She was blessed, right? Mary was blessed, highly favored, shown grace. Y'all, she bore and nursed the Son of God. I love my wife. She's blessed with my children. But my boys know Jesus. Mary was blessed. He says, you know what's better than raising the Son of God? You know what's better? You know what's better than having a child that never does any wrong? You know what's better than that? You know how blessed is? Some have proclaimed her divinity. Wrongfully so. But she certainly was blessed. God elected her to have the Son of God. He chose her. Out of all the women that were on this globe, he chose her. And the Spirit placed Christ in her womb, and she nursed him, and she fed him, and she tucked him in at night. She changed his diet. All of these things that a mother does to love her son, she was highly blessed. Y'all are highly blessed with the children you have here. You know what's better? You know what's more blessed than that? He says, when she says, your mama sure was blessed, he says, yay. Rather. You know what's better than that? Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Amen. You're blessed tonight. Y'all believe that? Amen. You've received a great blessing from Brother Mark, and I hope here tonight, hearing the word of God read. That's a great blessing, but it doesn't end there. Doesn't end there. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. You know why they're blessed? Because it's not going to fool them. It's not going to tell them it's Esau when it's Jacob. It's going to tell you just like it is. You've opened it up before and you've said, what is it? What is it? And you've opened it up and went, that's what it is. It's very clear to you. Let it be clear to you tonight. Let it be special to you tonight. When you leave here, keep this word of God. Lord bless you is our prayer.